overlaid with gold, an idol. God said, your rebellion is as if you worship the devil or worship an idol. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And that rejection was deeper than that. The next chapter you find the Spirit of the Lord left him. Verse 14 of 1 Samuel 16. The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. All right, now, after he had told the things that had caused this rebellion in his life and consequent rejection by God, in verse 24 of 1 Samuel 15, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned! I have sinned. But it was too late. After God rejects you, what's the use of saying you sinned? See, this was this man's second chance. It was really about his third one. Lord, have mercy. God had put up with a lot from this fella. Stubborn, self-willed. And now, just think about when God called him and anointed him, he was an humble fella. He didn't have anything. He was the poorest in his father's house. God always takes the poor, wants to bless them, raise you up, and then you to use what you have for God's glory. But he couldn't stand it, just like most Christians can't. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I what? Transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and what? Thy words. You know, God always, when he sends a prophet with a message, with a as his messenger, he don't always hold you accountable just for what you read in the Bible. He holds you accountable for that man's words that he speaks to you. He always did. He always did. And the people feared the Lord and Samuel. 1 Samuel 12. Judges 6. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. Oh, my. People don't like it, but that's just the way it is, and you either accept it or you reject it. He said, pray for me and pardon my sin. Pardon my sin. See that old apology. He didn't repent. And turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said, I will not return with thee, for you rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord rejected thee from being king over Israel. As he pulled to go away, Saul laid hands upon his garment, and it rent. And Samuel turned and looked and said, God hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you are. God will take this anointing, the mantle, the power, the authority, the commission, the calling, the gift, and he'll give it to your neighbor. God is not too good to do that either. You rebel against God, especially when a second chance. We find that Saul went on, it got worse and worse, until finally in 1 Samuel 31, he fell on his own sword and ended his life a suicide. God trying to reconcile him, getting back, but he couldn't repent. He was kind of like Esau. He was another fellow in the Bible. Sometimes we want to take refuge and consolation in some of these examples, and we do. But there's other examples that God uses to warn us of those that didn't make a good effort on their second chance when God gave it to them. And like Esau in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 14, here's a little biographical sketch by the Apostle Paul. It said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. You get to where holy things don't mean much to you, profane. You become profane. You become to where you're not, you don't honor, you don't respect, holy things like you once did. You become profane as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. After God rejects you, that making an apology doesn't count, or that kind of repentance. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to later be repented of or to change your mind about, but the sorrow of the world. That's the kind Esau had. What did it work? It worked death, just like it did on Judas when he went out and tried to repent. He couldn't repent. And he went out and hanged himself because he found no place of repentance. I want to tell you, though, however, God's favorite hobby is not your rejection and abandonment. God's favorite hobby is to convict you, lead you to repentance, and to use you again. Now, I've showed you some things in here that's terrible. But on the other hand, God delights in showing mercy. Praise God. Partial or incomplete obedience ever leads to rejection. You can just go on and be partial, be incomplete, be half-hearted about your repentance, and it becomes nothing more than a little old puny, weak, socially accepted apology. God doesn't receive your apologies. He don't want no apology. He don't want you to say, "Excuse me, Lord." I was an old boy out fishing one day years ago when I had to fish for a living and preach. They say in my little hometown, they don't know where I'm a preaching fisherman or a fishing preacher. Praise God. For years, I was out there, one of the old favorite boys I was raised up with. He hauled off and cussed a blue streak. He knew I didn't approve of it, and I done told him about it. He looked up real quick. He said, "Excuse me, God." He went right on. "Excuse me, God." That's the way a lot of Christians do. God don't accept those kind of apologies. That does not restore you. That doesn't lead you to the reconciliation at the feet of Jesus. That brings you back into that divine exception that you deserve, that you require for heaven, and that you better feel like you're deserving of it because you are seeking God and desiring, and the fear of God hasn't completely left you. Praise God. That to be worthy of a second chance is a real, wonderful consideration that God has made to you and I when we get a second chance.
Turn the cassette over for the continuation of this message.